Chapter 6. Savan slammed his shoulder into Hakim's chest, sending him crashing against the far wall of the bedroom. The impact ignited the flame of Hakim's rage into an all-out firestorm. Balling his hands into fists, he punched Savan once in the stomach and once just above the eye, the blows fueled by anger at his cousin and at the events of the past year. Both times his knuckles struck with a solid, wet thud. But Savan was fast. He responded with an arching punch that landed like a brick against Hakim's cheek. The impact made Hakim's ears ring and his legs buckle, and Savan kept coming. Surging forward like a linebacker, he tackled Hakim, dragging him to the ground with enormous force. In blind fury, Hakim slammed his elbows and fists into Savan, trying unsuccessfully to free himself from his cousin's grasp.
"What's going on in there?"
Uncle James's voice thundered. Hakim and Savan froze as the bedroom door opened.
"Nothing, Pop," Savan said, instantly letting go of Hakim. "We just messing around."
"Don't you lie to me, boy. I've about had it with you," Uncle James bellowed, barging into the room.
Hakim's father was right behind him.
"Y'all are cousins. Y'all are family. Blood is thicker than anything else, and family shouldn't be fighting like that. Now, Hakim, go downstairs."
Hakim's face burned with shame, and his cheek began to throb.
"But Uncle James, I started it."
"Don't try to cover for him, Hakim. I know what's going on around here."
"But Uncle James."
"But nothing. Just do as your uncle says,"
Dad ordered. Hakim hurried out of the room as Uncle James approached Savan.
"Boy, I am embarrassed to call you my son right now. You don't do nothing around here but disappoint me,"
Uncle James roared.
"You got anything to say for yourself?"
"We was just playing around, that's all,"
Savan replied. "Things got out of hand."
Uncle James slammed the bedroom door closed, but Hakim could hear his uncle's raised voice in the hallway.
"I could deal with you ignoring me, leaving the store, and wasting your summer with your friends, but I'm not about to let you turn this house upside down," he hollered. "There's going to be some changes around here starting right now."
"Let's go," Dad said, leading Hakim downstairs. Uncle James's voice boomed through the walls. Hakim felt a stab of guilt as he slumped in a chair at the dining room table. Not only had he failed to do what his uncle had asked, he had started a fight with his cousin. What bothered Hakim more was that Savan didn't even try to blame him. Instead, he denied what happened. "Embarrassed to call you my son," the words echoed in Hakim's mind. They were like weapons, more harmful than fists. The yelling upstairs continued like a storm overhead. Dad took a deep breath, crossed his arms, and leaned against the wall of the dining room. At one point, Hakim heard a thud from upstairs, followed by an even angrier outburst. Hakim lowered his head, wishing he could block the sound from his ears. He could feel his father's eyes boring into him.
"Dad, I'm sorry,"
he said, seeing the strain in his father's weathered face.
"I just lost it."
His father sighed and shook his head, pausing as if speaking was a great effort.
"All of us have been through too much these days. I see you walking around like you got the weight of the world on your shoulders. I know you're angry at what's happened."
"I am too," he admitted, sniffling slightly.
"But if I learned anything since I got sick, it's that life is too short for fighting, Hakim. The world is already full of enough bad things. We don't need to waste our time making it worse, especially not with the people in our family."
Hakim's face burned with shame.
"I know, Dad. I'm sorry,"
he muttered.
"Now listen to me. Tomorrow is my checkup. Doctor's gonna test me to see if the cancer is still in remission. No matter what happens, your mother and I need you to be strong right now. So I'm only going to ask you this once. Can you and Savan settle this yourselves?"
Dad asked, his face firm and serious, his eyes unblinking. Hakim's mind snagged on his father's words, "Be strong." The advice pained his ears. Inside, he didn't feel like he had any strength left, not for Detroit or Savan or anything.
"I'm tired, Dad," he wanted to say,
but how could he?
"And what about Savan?"
Hakim had no idea what to do with him. For some reason, Savan refused to even blame him for starting the fight. Probably because he was protecting himself, Hakim guessed. By taking the blame for the fight,
Savan never gave Akeem the chance to reveal the hidden money. But what if Savan refused to point a finger at Akeem for another reason? And what about the money? It probably came from robbing stores, Akeem thought, but he wasn't absolutely sure. Savan's words were rude, but there was something else to them, something sad. Listening to Uncle James yelling in the distance, Akeem could not bring himself to tell Dad or anyone else what he knew. Not yet. Not if it involved Savan getting in more trouble for something he didn't do. One way or another, Akeem had to find out how Savan had gotten so much cash. And if it turned out that Savan was the thief, he would tell everyone then, not a moment before. And if it turned out that Savan was the thief, he would tell everyone then, not a moment before.
"Yeah, Dad," he replied finally, trying unsuccessfully to meet his father's gaze.
"It's like Savan said, just a misunderstanding. No big deal."
"You sure?" Dad asked, moving closer. The back of Hakeem's neck began to sweat. His heart pounded like a piston.
"Yeah, I'm sure," Akeem said, trying his best to avoid his father's tired stare.
Akeem left the house an hour early. He could not look at his father, knowing the lie he had told, and he could not stand to be around Savan, who sulked in his room long after Uncle James left. While Akeem got dressed, Savan refused to acknowledge him. Instead, he sat on his bed almost zombie-like, his body completely motionless. Akeem tried twice to talk to him, but Savan put a Walkman on and turned it up so loud that Akeem could hear it in the hallway. Akeem headed straight to the laundromat Anika had pointed out the night before. She was the one person he could talk to. Glancing in the glass window, he spotted Anika inside talking to a tall, wiry young man with a sharp, angular face. Akeem had seen the face before, the day his family arrived at Uncle James's house. It had made him uneasy. Inside the laundromat, a row of pale yellow washing machines thumped and shook loudly. A number of people sat in plastic chairs opposite the machines. A few were reading magazines. One was sleeping. Anika was in the back, involved in an intense conversation with the stranger. Akeem walked back to meet her.
"I told you, I can't do this anymore, Rasul," Anika said to the man. "I don't want any part of it."
"Girl, why you tripping? This ain't nothing new."
"I'm out, Rasul,"
Anika said, moving her hands as if she was pushing something away.
"You hear me? Out."
"Hi, Anika," Akeem cut in, sensing she was in trouble.
"Akeem,"
she exclaimed, surprise on her face.
"Who's this?"
Rasul asked, staring Akeem up and down.
"Rasul, this is my cousin, Akeem,"
Anika answered before Akeem could speak.
"He's visiting for a couple days."
Rasul's eyes narrowed slightly, but then he stepped back.
"Anika, I'll catch up with you later," he said, turning and walking away.
Akeem watched as he quickly left the laundromat.
"What's all that about?" Akeem asked.
"It's a long story, Akeem. Rasul's my ex-boyfriend, and he's still trying to get back together with me,"
she said quickly, her eyes darting rapidly as she spoke.
"I hope you don't mind me calling you my cousin. It just made things easier. When Rasul gets jealous, he can get ugly," she added.
Akeem studied her face. He didn't know whether to believe her. She looked nervous and uncomfortable, and he didn't like the way Rasul eyed him just before he left.
"You all right?" "I'm fine," she said. "He just gets on my nerves sometimes. Anyway, what are you doing here? I thought you'd be at your uncle's store."
"I'm on my way there now. I just thought I'd stop by and see if you were here."
"What happened to your face?"
she said, pointing to where Savan had punched him.
"Me and Savan got into a fight," he admitted.
"Oh my God, I can't believe he hit you,"
she said, running her hand near the welt on his face.
"I know that boy has a big mouth, but he don't go around hurting people. At least he didn't used to."
"He didn't this time either. I pushed him first," Akeem admitted. "I feel bad now, 'cause Uncle James was really rough on Savan."
"You try to talk to Savan about it?"
"I did, but he wouldn't let me. I shouldn't have shoved him, Anika, but he got me so mad that I lost it." Akeem grumbled, angry at himself.
Believe me, I know about that. Back in the day, Savan was always on my case, trying to tell me who I shouldn't be friends with and which places I shouldn't go. He was bossing me just like his father bossed him. Finally, we broke up, because all we did was fight all the time,
Anika explained. Akeem felt his eyes twitch. He didn't like to hear about Anika and Savan, though he was curious. Even if it was old news, it still bothered him, adding jealousy to the sour mix of emotions he had for his cousin. Through the corner of his eye, Akeem noticed the time on a dusty wall clock.
I gotta go.
I'm glad you came to visit me, Anika replied, her eyes pulling him out of his thoughts. Maybe we can see each other later. That is, if you're not too busy.
Akeem could not help but smile.
I'll see if I can fit you in my schedule, he teased. Call me, she said, grabbing his hand and writing on it. Here's my number.
Girl, you're crazy, he said, looking at the ink on his palm.
Call me later, she said with a wave and a smile.
At 4 o'clock, Akeem leaned against a dumpster in the back of the furniture store. He had just loaded a sofa onto a truck, and he was taking a break. He and Uncle James had barely spoken all day. Once Akeem had tried to apologize for what happened, but Uncle James had cut him off before he could really say anything.
No, Akeem, I'm the one who was sorry. I asked you to keep an eye on him, and I shouldn't have done that. You were just trying to do what I told you. You got nothing to apologize for, he had said.
But I pushed him first.
Akeem, you don't have to stick up for him. I know what happened.
I'm not, Uncle James.
Akeem, it's done. Savan isn't going to hit you again, not while he's living under my roof. And he ain't going to leave the house for a week either. The time inside will do him good. He's got a lot of thinking to do, Uncle James insisted. Maybe then he'll get his butt back in the store where he belongs.
Akeem wanted to protest, but he could see Uncle James had made up his mind. And when several customers walked in, Uncle James left him without another word. Business, it seemed, always came first. Frustrated, Akeem busied himself in the back of the store and stayed out of Uncle James's way. Still, he had a queasy feeling about Uncle James's decision. It meant Savan would be in the house all the time, and he was almost certain to be even angrier than before. And what about Savan sneaking out the window each night? Uncle James knew nothing about that. Akeem was sure Savan would do it again, especially tomorrow, Friday night, the time Savan and his friends had made plans. The same day Dad was going to the doctor. Akeem shuddered with a growing sense of dread, a feeling that increased as the day wore on.
Look at your face,
Mom exclaimed when she picked up Akeem at work. She, Aunt Lorraine, and his sisters had not been home when the fight broke out. They had left early for a full day of sightseeing in the city.
What did he do to you?
Nothing, Mom. I'm fine, he replied, feeling his swollen cheek.
We just had an argument, that's all.
Well, your father told me that, but he didn't say nothing about your face.
Just don't say anything to Savan, okay? That will only make things worse, he said, leaning back in the seat and trying to hide the bruised part of his face.
That cousin of yours doesn't give me a good feeling at all, Mom said, driving the car out of the parking lot.
They passed 2 young men walking by the small shopping plaza. One of the guys was Anika's friend, Rasul. He pointed toward the dollar store as he walked.
Well, he won't be going anywhere for a week at least, Akeem said. Uncle James grounded him.
His mother nodded and then turned to him.
You two gonna be okay in that room by yourselves?
Yeah, we'll be fine, he lied, telling her what he thought she wanted to hear.
Say your prayers for your dad tomorrow. I'm worried about what the doctors might find, his mother admitted.
I will, Mom,
he said, avoiding her eyes again, fear lurking in his own heart. As they parked in front of the house, Hakeem's pulse quickened. He wished he could avoid Savan, but he knew there was no way. He had to try to make peace with him. On the front porch, Akeem heard the sounds of his sister's laughter followed by the sounds of Savan's voice coming from inside the house.
I told you were rugrats. 2 little rugrats from California, Savan said amidst the girls giggling.
Akeem opened the front door to see Savan sitting on the couch tickling Charmaine and Charlene, who rolled gleefully on the floor to escape him. All 3 of them stopped as soon as Akeem entered.
What happened to your face?
Charmaine asked.
You got a big bruise right there,
Charlene added, pointing to it. Savan stood up suddenly and headed up the stairs. Akeem cringed, looking for a way to escape their questions.
Would you mind your own business and leave your brother alone? Mom jumped in. He bumped his face at work today.
The girls seemed satisfied with their mother's explanation, though they stared at his bruise as if their eyes were glued to it somehow. Without waiting for more questions, Akeem followed his cousin up the stairs. Savan was sitting at his desk, writing something in a notebook when Akeem entered.
I'm sorry for pushing you, Akeem said, the words rushing awkwardly out of him. And I'm sorry your dad punished you. He wouldn't listen to me when I tried to tell him what happened.
Man, I don't need your apology,
Savan said, his voice heavy with resentment.
You could take that someplace else, 'cause I ain't having it.
Akeem closed the door.
Look, Savan, I don't know what you're into.
That's right, you don't,
Savan barked.
So just stay out of my business.
Savan, your dad's the one who told me to keep an eye on you,
he cut back, trying to explain himself.
I didn't tell him, but I know you're planning to sneak out tomorrow night. Man, I don't care what my dad said. You ain't my babysitter.
Savan countered, his face an expression of outrage.
This is my house, my room. You already got my parents treating you like the son they wished they had, and now you're gonna try to control my life too?
Savan's voice wavered slightly.
Yeah, I got plans on Friday, and I'm gonna keep them. I got to. Not you, not Dad, not anyone is gonna stop me. Just keep your mouth shut and stay out of my face.
Savan turned on his stereo and cranked up the volume. Akeem was speechless.